What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm very happy to have you here today. Today we have Mr. Rodney Bell with us, and we're going to be talking about the Bible and the different scriptures that we are in error of understanding and what the true meanings of particularly Genesis will be. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have an amazing conversation here. And, of course, as you know, we always open the show with a quote and have a Peace Brain meditation at the end, so please stay tuned to the end for an amazing transformative meditation. So I found a wonderful quote for today, which, unfortunately, I do not know the author. It's anonymous, but it's really a short story, and it's titled, What Are You Listening For? So let me read this to you. Two friends were in downtown Manhattan, walking near Times Square during the lunch hour. The streets were filled with people, cars were honking their horns, taxi cabs were squealing around corners, sirens were wailing, and the sounds of the city were almost deafening. Suddenly, one of the friends said, I hear a cricket. What? His friend laughed. You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all of this noise. No, I'm sure of it, the first friend said. I hear a cricket. He listened carefully for a moment and then walked across the street to a big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked into the bushes beneath the branches, and sure enough, he located a small cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. That's incredible. You have superhuman ears. No, said the first friend. It all depends on what you're listening for. And that depends on what's really important to you. Here, let me show you. He reached into his pocket, pulled out a few coins, and discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. And then, even with the noise of the crowded street still blaring, they noticed every head within 20 feet turn and look to see if the money that was tinkling on the pavement was theirs. See what I mean? It all depends on what's important to you. Did you just hear a cricket? So that's the end of the short story. I really enjoyed this because it points out that we are attuned to what is important to us. We really listen for what we consider to be not only important, but the truth and what we are used to making our daily routines and our daily life around. So obviously, we're very tuned in our urban society to hearing the drop of money on the sidewalk. But perhaps if you grow up in the rural country, hearing the cricket is very common to you as well. So what is important to you? What are you listening for? Take a moment and think about that. And what is the truth these days, perhaps? It can be selective. It can be that we are seeing and hearing and believing different things. So today's show is really very similar to that. It's about looking at something that we have looked at and read and embodied within ourselves and our psyche and our understanding for a couple millennia. And there are certain beliefs about the creation stories and about the holy books and the holy writings, not just of the Jewish and the Christian faiths, but this actually applies to any sacred writing. But today we're going to talk about how we can actually hear things or see things differently, how we can tune your ears and eyes to new things and new ways of understanding the world. So I want to bring on my guest, Rodney Bell. He is an amazing, enlightened scholar. He is a public speaker. He's a motivator. He is also an author. We'll talk about his books in a few minutes. He's a businessman. He is the owner of Nature First Foods, which is here in Atlanta, Georgia, delivering food that is nature first. He has a lifetime purpose. He says is the keeper of the grail, and we'll definitely discuss that. He is a chairman of the United Council of Faith and a minister in the Capital City Empowerment Centers around the United States. He lives here in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's married and has a father of four boys. He went to West Virginia University and Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky. And he has written two books that we will mention today, that one in 1996, so over 20 years ago, No Strange God is what it's called. And then his recent one that was published in 2017 is Because of the Angels, Why the Divine Nature of Woman Was Suppressed. And I think that's going to be our main topic today, actually. And he has this beautiful quote that comes from Jesus that he wants to share with everyone. We are in error because we know not the scriptures nor the power of God. His website is enlightenedhouse.org. That's enlightenedhouse.org, enlightenedhouse.org. Welcome, Rodney, to the Peace Brain Show.
Well, thank you, thank you. I was listening to that. I'm almost impressed with myself.
I know, it's pretty cool to hear your own bio, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, you have done some amazing things, and you're very welcome. I'm delighted to have you here. I was really impressed when I went to a lecture that you gave here in Atlanta about the scriptures, particularly about the book of Genesis in the Old Testament of the Bible, and how we have envisioned what it says in error. I'll just be blunt and say that the divine feminine, as you say in your book, the nature of the divine feminine has been suppressed. So let's dive in and talk about these things. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I tell you, why don't we start at the beginning? One of my quotes of another master, when his disciples asked him, tell us the end, and he said, how is it you want to know the end and you have not yet learned the beginning? So I always believe that we just start at the beginning, sort of like a going on a trip. If you don't know what the beginning of the map, you end up anywhere. And I think it's very important to know how we got where we are. That's the only way we know how far we came. And that's if you're just going somewhere and you never look back, you don't know where you're coming from. So I think we should always start at the beginning, and I think we find out more about where we are knowing from where we came. And that's where most of the misconceptions are, how we originated, and what do the sacred manuscripts of ages say. And as you said, they all say a very similar line, that man was created with some divine purpose. And if we don't believe that because secularly, we believe it because we feel it. And that's what no one can take from you, that feeling that you belong to something greater than yourself and that there's something outside of you greater than yourself, even if that's greater than yourself is another version of you. But we know that we're not just here to live for 70, 80 years and perish. So I believe in going to the beginning and starting at the beginning. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story and this and how it came about. As a businessman, whenever I started a business, the first thing I had to do was write down a business plan. And whenever I got off the business plan, it gave me bad results. And I would have to get back to the plan. And as I learned, I wondered what type of business person would start a business without a rule and procedures. So I thought, well, life is really complicated. Where is our handbook? There's got to be a handbook if there's a creator. I have a car, and it has a handbook, and I use it. But you take the most sophisticated the machine in the world, the human body, and where's his handbook? So that's where I started. I wanted to look, and I searched a lot of scriptures, both from the Hebrews and Greek scriptures, as well as other scriptures, to see, is there a handbook there? What does it say about us? How are we? Why do we do what we do? Why do we think the way we think? And so that's how I started. I looked and said, is there a handbook? And there is. There actually is a handbook that seems to explain what we do. I would love to say it's all in one place, but it's not. It's in a lot of different places, but each section of it, and particularly the one I weigh on the most, is the Holy Scripture, or the Greek and Hebrew Scriptures, simply because of the majority of people in the United States, that's what they hang their hat on. And if we're ever going to help anyone, that's where we need to start, where the majority of people are. And so that's with Genesis. So that's where we are. I looked into Genesis, and I wanted to throw out everything I've been taught about religion. And I wanted to see if there wasn't indeed, if you threw off the superstition and you threw out the preconception and you threw out the theology part of it, is it actually a handbook? And I started in the beginning, and it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, upon looking at that, the first thing I noticed was the word, in the beginning, gods, you know, G-O-D-S. And I said, whoa, much different than I thought. I was taught that in the beginning, God, G-O-D, a singular being, created the heaven and earth. And it said, God created the heavens and the earth. So from the first verse, I realized I've been off track. So I find out that it says gods and it says heavens, not one singular heaven. And so that's where I got started. And I wanted to see if I went through there, how many things I could find that were different from what we were taught. And I found out it's everything from the nature of women to the nature of men and why we do what we do, how we came to be, what are our secrets, where are we going, and all that is in there in plain sight, but it's hidden by what our preconceived notion of what it should say. So word for word, I read the Bible, and word for word, I read Scripture, and word for word, it doesn't say anything you've been taught in church.
Wow. So what version of the Bible are you using mainly for your study?
It doesn't matter. I use the King James Version, the NIV, but they all, the message is not different in one
right.
version to the other.
Right.
Your religion prefers a certain one over the other, but as far as what happened, is it a guidebook, what we do, they all say the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when they differ on important things, it's noted. One of the key differences in the Bible was the first couple's name. I always thought it was Adam and Eve.
Right.
And yet I find out when I look into the Bible, when I first look into, it says that God created man, male and female. He created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. And that was almost a direct quote. So I find that the first couple wasn't named Adam and Eve, but the Creator saw them as one singular being named Adam.
So where does it go from there? Where does Eve come in?
Well, the second misconception was that Adam and Eve were born in the Garden of Eden. And what the Scriptures tell us is that Adam was on the earth for quite a while, and the Creator came to him, and he named all the animals, and then the Creator moved them into a garden he called Eden, and there he introduced Eve to him when Adam was far into his lifespan. And so we find that Adam and Eve, and at the time, her name was not Eve. He simply called her his wife. And so they were created outside the garden and moved into the garden, which was another thing for me to find out that things existed outside the garden, which means that there was a time period that the garden had to be created. And when I look at that, I wondered, what do we learn from that? Is there a secret in that they were outside the garden and moved into the garden? And that's how we do things in life. We sort of wait outside of things. We prepare them. We're not born with where we need to ultimately be. We're born outside of where we need to be, and we prepare where we end up. I call it what I want to be when I grow up. So we try a lot of different things, and then we move into that garden.
Okay, so the garden came a little later, and I hear you that is, we do that in our lives, and you're right. We would create, that's what life is about, is creating that garden. and then stepping into it and whatever project or thing that, you know, talent and grace that each of us is creating. So if Eve was not, if the woman was not named Eve, what happened in the garden about the story with the snake and the tree and Eve?
Well,
or am I skipping too far ahead?
Well, you know, that's ultimately what we know. We know about Adam and Eve, and we know about a snake, and we know that indeed the snake tricked the female, as if she was easily tricked. I'm married, and I know women don't trick that easily. But the story goes that she was tricked, and she gave it to her husband, and then he ate, and then they had the fall. That's the traditional story. But actually, it goes a lot deeper than that. When I'm reading the Bible, I notice that God did each creative day. And the first day, he did his creation, and he said it was good. And then the second day, he looked at it morning and evening, and he said it was good. And the third day, he looked at it and he said it was good. And all the way through the fourth, fifth, and sixth day, he said it was good. But there's this part of the Bible in the sixth chapter that he calls it very good. And that's when he created women. And I thought that was profound. I said, well, okay, good, but very good, right? And what I learned, so I went back and I studied, so what did we learn? Why is this day very good? And when I read the scripture about man, it said when man was born, and he was born singular, the Bible says, quote, unquote, male and female created he them, which leads me to believe that this was a special being capable of having that housed both the feminine and the masculine. And that is a quote. It says, male and female created he them and named them Adam. So there was one being that was put into two beings. And when Eve was created, she was created surgically from Adam, being still part of Adam. And God declared that very good. And so what part of Adam was went into Eve? It was the intuition part, the part to be able to unite to God, the more wisdom, what we call it, the wiser of the two. Man kept the dominion, but the advice, the steering, the leadership, that part of him went into the female. So you have male and female, which is the masculine and the feminine. And the reason we use the word masculine and feminine, you'd have to believe that if you had a creator, they would have neither used for genitalia. So they would not be male nor female. They would be masculine or feminine.
Or a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. Or a combination of both. As a combination of both. So another thing in the Bible, when man was created, God said, let us make man in our image. And that's a quote, you've heard it a thousand times. But we never stop to think, well, this is God. Who is the us?
So who do you think is us?
Well, you know, people believe through religion that we were created in God's image, but it doesn't say that. The Bible says, quote, unquote, in Genesis, the 26th chapter, the second verse, it said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so the creator lays out that this original being, this Adama, this Adam and Eve, all in one, had both qualities. And these gods, this pantheon of gods, said, let us create man in our image and make him like us, which means two. And so he took the one male and he made him, he took the one being, I'm sorry, and made it both male and female. In the image of the creators. And then God declared that very good. So
you're saying that the original Adam had both male and female qualities, energy, I'll use the word energy, that was in the image of the gods.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, because he says male and female created he them, which tells me that he took this being, right, and they were both male and female, they had both of them, and separated them into two separate beings.
Okay,
but
one male, one female.
Them together, one within two, and then God looked at that, and then he said it was very good. Another thing that we spoke of in that seminar was that, were they alone? Was Adam and Eve alone? And the scripture actually said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So
right.
I had heard the word was and fill the earth, but it's not. It's replenish the earth. So I looked and said, okay, then the text suggests, right, that there were other beings on the earth, but that this being would went out over the rest of them, or they would be done away with, and the earth would be replenished with this new style of male and female creation. So he said he blessed them and said, replenish the earth. So the word
so you wonder who was there before.
Right. So you wonder who was there before, which answers our questions later that we'll get to. Who was there? Were they by themselves? And he also said, the God said, and subdue the earth, to have it have dominion over it, to have it in subjection, not just the people of the earth, but the earth itself, meaning that the earth, that creation, bends to our will, and that these situations that we live in now, whether it's a personal situation or whether it's a public situation, are all our own devices. That if you believe the Creator, then the Creator said that this is the earth, it will bend to your will. So I like to believe that you won't see it till you believe it. Nature
True.
Answers our call.
Personal experience is the best teacher, absolutely. So you're saying basically, I'm looking at it from energetic terms here in some regards, that as a human being, we each have the qualities to create our own life, to use the elements of the earth, and not just, you know, subdued. Many times I think of digging for gold and bringing a pit or taking down the forest and, you know, to use for wood to build housing. But it's not just that. What we're really talking about, I'm thinking, is using the elementals, air, earth, fire, water, using the qualities of the earth to bend to our will as a creator being to create our lives and our focus?
Absolutely. And I think you sum it up well with Peace Brain, that's exactly how it works. Later on in the scripture, Jesus speaks of how to make that, what is the physical process that we use to bend creation. And just as you say, Jesus said that we take things in our brain, in our worldly part of us, right, in the energy part of us. And he says, whatever these things are, whatever things are chased, whatever things are true, whatever things you want, think on these things. So we think on them, and then he says, and then creation reads the heart. So we learn not only how to think on things, but to go beyond thinking, but meditate so it moves into our heart.
Yes.
And that's how the divine creation works. As you say in your Peace Brain, it goes from this very secular thinking process, wondering what you want, making sure you understand it, make sure you do your ideal scene the way you want it, and you don't meditate on it until it's perfect. And at which time it's perfect, then you move it into your heart through meditation, and then creation or the divine architect reads the heart, not the mind.
Yes.
So it comes from the brain.
Thank you. You just said that very well. That's exactly what it is about. And once it is in the heart, then it becomes manifested in the physical because it magnetically attracts those elements or that creation to you, and it can manifest very easily. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, so taking that thought and going back to the scriptures, again, well, what we learn from the scripture is how did these gods create the earth? And it didn't say that God created everything in the earth. It said God said, let there be. So God was talking to something. And the Bible says that God had the earth bring forth the desires of man. Not that he created it, but the earth brought forth these things. He said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. And so the earth elected to do this. And so when we get into these creative days, one particular day that we sort of notice is the seventh day. And in religion, we're taught that the word rest means that God slept on the seventh day, as if a divine being would have a need for sleep. But that's not what it says. It says he rested from his work, not from all the work. See, the scriptures tell us that the creators took the earth to lay the framework for us and said, here's your playground. we're resting from what we're doing, like the defense rest. Now you do your part. And so he put the framework in there like fathers or mothers would do for their children, create a playroom with no sharp objects. And so the earth is our playground, and it bends to our will. And that's one of the things hidden. That's one of the things that scripture says, that you err because you know not the scriptures, which tell you it, nor the power that goes along with the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And this power to make this earth what we want it to be is reflected in all the movies we see. Whenever they need us to think a certain way, they'll show us a lot of movies at the theater with that thought in it, because that's what shapes the world.
Mm.
We resist that.
I'm sorry. Which part of the scriptures is the quote? We are in error because we know not the scriptures nor the power of God.
That would be in Timothy, the second chapter, and in Thessalonians.
Fantastic. Okay. So what you're really saying here, I believe, is that the Bible, at least because that's the sample we're using right now, says that human beings, because I'll say human beings, man and woman, this is our playground, the earth is, and we are here to create, to think in our brain, to bring to our heart, to let God the architect help us create, use our powers to create what we wish in our playground.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. So we take the master Jesus and all the many things he did, and a lot of times religious people don't like what I'm about to say next, but I read the Bible as Jesus having very much difficulty fitting in. And I'll give you some examples. The time when Jesus walked on water, so we think about he walked on water. But when you read the scriptures, it said that Jesus was minding his own business walking on water, and he saw his disciples, his apostles, in the boat having a lot of problems. And the scriptures say, and he continued to walk by them, and they looked out and saw him and called to him. And the scriptures say, quote unquote, that unless they had called him, he would have walked on by. You see, what they were going through, Jesus didn't understand. He was thinking, they're having trouble. I wonder why they don't stop the wind. He was capable of it.
Yes.
So they called to him, and he said, why'd you call me? And so when he got on board, the wind stopped and the oceans calmed, and they were amazed. But the Bible said that Jesus didn't catch on to that. Jesus was like, okay, and he went and he rested. And the people said, what in the world just happened? But the Bible said that he was not walking to meet them, but he was walking across to meet them on the other side, and they just happened to see him in their peril. And that situation happened again. That one time Jesus was on his ship, and he was asleep. And they woke him up, his apostles, and said, we think we're going to perish. The wind is terrible, and the waves are terrible. And Jesus got mad at them, which struck me as odd. And he got mad and said, how long before you learn? And he yelled at the wind, and he silenced the wind. You see, Jesus thought that he was born so true to nature that he didn't understand why we don't. So we ask him, how do you do that? He asks us, how is it that you don't?
And that's what I've forgotten what's suppressing the earth or dominion over the earth. The wind, the water, all of that is part of the earth, so that we as human beings have the same power that Jesus was implementing and figures, why, if I can do it, you can do it. Why can't you do it?
Absolutely. Okay. So what you have to realize is that what Jesus had, he inherited. And who did he inherit it from? Well, Genesis tells us that the first prophecy in the Bible was not to the male, but to the female. And he told her that there would be this heir that would do these things. But it was from her. So what Jesus had, he inherited. And so we talk about Mary, and in the conference when we speak, I always say there's something about Mary. And because her whole family had a lot of divine, not just the fact that John the Baptist came from her cousin, but that the whole family had all these type of prophets and beings and special people from one family. And it's that same bloodline that was passed down that made this woman, Mary, capable of giving birth to a man or woman with such power. And that exactly is the nature of my book, Because of the Angels, why this divine nature that guided Adam in the beginning, that was treasured in women from the beginning, why it has been hidden. And we live in hard, terrible world full of death, full of destruction over and over because we suppress the divine nature of women, and instead of allowing her to tap in to that divinity that she has and instruct us, we suppress it. And so we are without a rudder. And God saw that in Adam, in the original male, and said that was not good. He said, quote, unquote, it is not good for the male to be alone. That's exactly what he said. And so God knew that we needed a helper. And when you read that in the scriptures about the generation of Eve, the way she was generated, it said man did not have a help meet. It did not say he didn't have a servant. It says it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet. Well, help meet means a guider, someone who helps you, like we are our children's help meet. We're not their servant. We guide them through life to step them, to get them out of bad situations and make sure they don't stumble. And that's what Eve was designed to do. That's what women were designed to do, to have that intuitive nature, to hear the angels, to hear God, and to take that advice and that knowledge and that wisdom and to share it with man, who at that time dominated the world out of strength, not out of overlording it by the woman, not being the woman's lord, but being a pair.
Well, I was going to say, and obviously not just at that time, but in today's world as well, where man, by and large, or at least the power structures that are predominantly powered by men, are doing that. They're subjugating the earth or existing through their power and not through the advice of the intuitive nature or the spiritual nature of woman.
Absolutely. And to clear our day, we suppress that nature of women. We call her a witch if she can do it, right? We want to burn her at the stake, or else we want to relegate her to the house, or we want to discount her words. And she herself doesn't understand. So our goal and our job is to help women return to the divine state so that that in so doing, you can return the world to its own divine state.
Okay, let's explore this a little bit, because this is very important. You know, there's a lot going on right now. The ratification of the ERA is hopefully is being pushed for the Equal Rights Amendment of women in the United States. There are many, many people speaking up about the power of women and equality of women, of respect of women, and when women get into power, that they really do look at solutions in a very different light than the typical historical way that the masculine has looked at solutions, so that will begin to change the world. So how can your message be a catalyst for this?
Okay. Let's very, very good question. I'm going to give you the answer in a true event that happened in the garden. At which time the serpent, or this angel in the form of the serpent, spoke to Eve, who we'll say Eve for the sake of calling the first woman. When he spoke to her and she listened, there was a reason that serpent went to her first. It's because he couldn't get Adam on board without who? Eve. Adam was accustomed to listening to her. And so when she gave this forbidden fruit to Adam, and he ate, and his eyes became open, and her eyes were open, the Creator came back and said to them, what is this thing you have done? Have you eaten from the tree? And the Creator speaks directly to Adam and said, what did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? And Adam's answer is your answer. Adam said, this woman whom you gave to me said, eat, and I ate. Now listen to it. Let me say that again. The Almighty God says to Adam, you have broken my word. Why did you do that? And he said, the woman, I'm quoting, whom you gave to me said, eat, and I ate. Do you see? In that answer, lets you know that he was accustomed to following her wish, her will, advice. God didn't say back to Adam, well, you shouldn't listen to your wife. He understood. He immediately turned his attention to Eve and said, why did you tell him this?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So in that, we know that man, at his best, and is when he follows sage advice, and women are at their best when they're listening to the angels. So in our day and time, how does that relate? The advice that women give men is not a sage advice anymore. And therefore, men discount the advice because they don't see it as wise advice. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? So what we have to first do is we have to have let women trust themselves again. We need to make sure they're tied in to nature again, tied into that divine instruction, so that when they give the sage advice, men accept it, and only then will we understand the nature, and only then will we resist against the prejudice that we have toward women. And in this day and time, I, as a businessman, are in a lot of different meetings where there are women present and very respected, and a woman is knowledgeable and she really knows her things. But she'll get up and leave, and when she leaves, she is instantly discounted because she comes from a woman. So how do we get by that? How do we get past that? We keep fighting. We do exactly what you're saying. We give women the opportunity to stand up and become who they are. You see, once women return to their original state, we couldn't take it from them if we wanted it. So our Lord Master Jesus, she has to surrender it to us.
And so, yes, it is about women standing up their power. And I love the example for in Liberia, where women fought for peace and won. In other words, there was a peace talk in Liberia of the major leaders and government officials, and the women, and they were not talking for peace. The men were like, we don't need this, really. And the women staged a stakeout, if you will, around the building and said, you are not leaving until you sign the peace accord, and we are withholding sex from all of our husbands. In other words, we have power. We demand the peace, and it worked. So, yes, when women stand in their power, they really can achieve a betterment of the world. You know, and have men listen to their true nature of who they are too.
And sometimes we as men, we don't know what's good for us, and so we consult. One of my times in business, I had a business that wasn't going right. And a lady, believe it or not, one of my business colleagues said to me, Rodney, do you listen to your wife? You ever ask her advice? And to me, that would have been strange. Why would I do that? But she said, listen to her. And I did, and my business has immediately picked up. And insight and ways I looked at things were so far off. And I thought, well, gee, she's very good. You know, I didn't know it was innate for her to do that. You know, mm-hmm. And why? Because she's tied to the different things that we don't see, and that feminine is very strong. One time, and I want to just say this: Jesus encounter. Jesus was walking one time, the Master Jesus, and people were crowding in on him. And one particular person touched his garment, and it was a female, and she touched it. And Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" His followers said to him, and his apostles said to him, how can we possibly know that? There's thousands of people around you. Everyone pushing in on you. He says, no, someone touched me. What he was saying was, he said, someone drained something from me. Now, what that tells us is this is not something Jesus was doing. This is something that the woman did to him. You mm-hmm. see, everyone's touching him. But she had said, and the Bible said that she had said to herself, I'm sick. I know if I but touch him, I'll be healed. She did not say, I know if I touch him, he'll heal me. You see, there's a big difference. She knew within her was the power to pull what she needed from him, that life force, that healing presence.
And what she an pulled interesting it from way him. To interpret that. Yes, no, I see the difference. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because they said, everyone's around you. So she said, no, someone touched me in a certain way, right? And it was her. And he turned to her and said, your faith has healed you, meaning that your belief has healed you, not me. I was going about my business. I didn't know you existed. So I learned from that that she within her had the power, and she didn't know it. But this particular, but she believed that she could control it to even pull a healing spirit, right, out of this Master Jesus.
What a beautiful story.
And these are all the true stories there. One time, and a lot of times people don't know that Jesus lost his ministry 3 times. He lost his entire ministry from different things he taught. It's very similar to this call, where it shocks people. But one time, as he was ready to lose his ministry for the second time, he said to his apostles, will you leave me too? And they answered him with a very profound answer. They did not say, we can't leave you because you're the Son of God. They did not say, we can't leave you because you're great. They said, we can't leave you. Where else would we go? Who else has the teachings of life?
Mm-hmm.
So what Jesus had were these teachings, right, that we're all bettered by, right? And it wasn't his power. It wasn't what he could do. It was the power of the teachings. And those powers of the teachings are what we are hidden from the earth, but they can't be hidden from the earth unless you're hidden first from the female, who is like a beacon to find these things. So we're going to go back. I want to get back to one thing to follow up with you. Because of the angels, there's a scripture quoted to the Apostle Paul with how we got to thinking it was okay that women would be second-class citizens. And people attribute to the Apostle Paul this saying in the Bible that women ought to remain silent in the church and not to speak, and if they want to know something, ask their husbands at home. That's what it says. And for that reason, the whole religion, Christian faith and Jewish faith, built that we can mistreat women, they have nothing good to say, and they're silly. But that is not what Paul meant, because he closed that statement, that whole chain of sayings with, that man is not without the woman, and a woman is not without the man, but in the eyes of the Creator, both are equal. So he could not have possibly been saying that man is greater than woman. He does, in fact, say the head of the woman is the man, and man wasn't born for the sake of women, but woman for the sake of men. And therefore, she should have a sign of authority on her head because of the angels. So in religion, we take that whole chapter to justify that women have nothing to say, that we are the head, that they were here for our sake, we weren't here for their sake, all these things. But I want to make sure you understand that if you listen to what Paul was actually saying, was this: that because the angels was what they leave out in church. He said a woman should have authority over her because of the angels, because of the angels, because of the angels. Very odd to me. So I said, what do you mean because of the angels? And so when we read, we find that the women, even in those days, 2,000 years ago, still interacted with angels. That divine spark, that life force, that connection to the universe and the Creator and the universe was still strong, and they connected with angels. And the angels would give advice, would give words to the women, and the women would tell the men. And women got to where they started to be worshipped. And that's what they started to be worshipped. And when they started to be worshipped, the problem was that was against the law to worship the angels, and secondly, to worship the women. So Paul told them, listen, we know who you are, we know you're divine, we understand how you do that, but if you have something to tell us, right, say it to us where? At home.
In private,
in private. It's for, he said, the words that you have are for your husband, right, not for the whole world, and to go tell him at home, right? And if you have any questions, ask him at home. So people think that means that the woman doesn't know the answer to the question. That's so shallow thinking. The way you know someone knows things, they ask you the questions. Like I might say to my son, where have you been? I know exactly where he's been, but my question is to hear him. So when the woman says she has any questions, it didn't mean she's asking him, honey, what about this? she's demanding of him answers. So he says, if you have any questions for your husband, ask him at home. Don't embarrass him in public. That's what that. But our chauvinistic side of it meant that we thought that women were needed our advice and our answers. So that very misunderstood passage in Corinthians and in that Paul said, it's where we get this whole thing that women don't have good advice, that they need our oversight, and that that we're better off. But I'll say one other thing. Paul said women, men weren't made for the sake of women, but women for the sake of men. Now, if you listen to that statement, it tells you this is what Paul is saying. Men, you weren't born because women needed you. They were born because we needed them. That's what that statement says. I don't know how we hear anything but there. So
it definitely has been interpreted differently. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he was explaining to them. Now his closing thoughts make sense, right? The woman is not without the man and man without the woman. But Paul knew the divine nature of women. He knew that if men needed to bring the earth where it needed to be, that we needed instruction. We needed this instruction to be divine instruction issued by the earth and divine instructions that the earth would comply with. So I applaud women at any level for standing up, because when they first start standing up and they resist and they fight back, you'll start beginning to get that self-worth again. And once they get that self-worth and they know that it's okay to be great, that it's okay to be divine, that it's okay to be leaders, I think the world will change. I think that's the times that we're approaching.
Yes,
and I think it's message of letting them know that they were designed that way from the beginning, that it's second, it is their innate nature to be more.
Mm, that's beautiful, Rodney. Thank you for sharing that. So tell us where we can find your book at enlightenedhouse.org, and are you making this a series?
Yes, the book itself, the website itself is called Enlightened Houses, so it's plural. Enlightened House, but Enlightened Houses.
Okay.
And so you can find it at enlightenedhouses.org.
All right.
And it is a series.
Yes. Tell us about that.
And this particular book, because the angels, the divine, how men suppress the divine nature of women and why it was suppressed, it's just the first part of the series. There are six additional books that are coming out to explain not the origin of women, but how we got where we were. What can we do about it? Why do we love the way we love? Why does she fall in love so hard? Why does she stick with just one guy? All these true nature of women from divine, from creation forward are in that book series.
Excellent. Excellent. So fantastic. We will, promote your book on the website, and it is an amazing. I haven't read the book, but I certainly have been in your lectures, and it is fascinating the way for centuries we have looked at these scriptures in a human error ways, and that now it really does feel like now is the time for us to receive this new enlightenment and uplift women to bring about world peace and unity. We're getting toward the end of the show. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners on the Peace Brain Show?
Yes, actually, there is. What I believe is that nature moves in cycles. And one thing that all scriptures tell us is that we are quickly approaching a place in history where where the earth has to be shook out. And we're at the end of the millennium. We're in a new age, and it is in this age that all the prophecies say that we will find ourselves. And I think that if we look, I think if we explore ourselves, I think through meditation, but I think knowledge is reigns supreme. I believe that if we will seek this knowledge, this hidden knowledge in the divine words that are in plain sight, that if you can disconnect from what you were taught and read with an open mind, you will find that this message that we're going over today, this is only the tip of the iceberg for all these things that will enlighten our lives, enlighten our families, and enlighten our pocketbook as well. So mm-hmm. I encourage you and I invite anyone to reach out to me if they need to, and I'll answer their questions as honestly as we can. But this is a journey. This is a voyage that I would invite everyone to share with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Again, Rodney Bell, enlightenedhouses.org. Actually, I just went on the website, and it is singular. It's enlightenedhouse.org.
Well, is it?
But, yeah. So, anyway, you can check it out. And you know, listeners, please go find Because of the Angels, The Unveiling of the Divine Nature in Women. It is a fantastic scripture, a reliving of the scripture and learning the sacred words of the Creator. So thank you, Rodney, for coming on the Peace Brain Show.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
It's been excellent. I know we could talk all day. Many more shows, perhaps. So now let's go into the Peace Brain meditation. I want to encourage everyone to just sit back and take a breath. And start to digest what you heard. Give yourself a grounding cord, as I suggest in every show, an energetic connection between the base of your spine and the center of the planet. I like to envision a beam of light coming out of my last vertebrae, my tailbone, and going all the way down into Mother Earth, and really anchoring into her crystal core. And allow all of the worries, the past, the present, the future, to go down the grounding cord so you can be in the present moment, be grounded here and now. And begin to realize that you, as the words that have flown through you from this show go through you, that you are a divine being, that you know these answers, this wisdom is within you. It is from the Creator, from the Source, that man and woman are divine and need each other. There is a union, in other words, of the divine and feminine and masculine. And it is about bringing that unity, bringing that cooperation back into play, where the consultation between man and woman is of a divine sort, of that higher power, of that enlightenment. And just imagine if you were to give this kind of consultation, this kind of energy to your spouse, to your women and men friends, to begin to think and practice. Where I'm using the word consultation, and what I mean by that is that you consult with, you ask questions of, you share ideas with on equal terms with not only your spouse, but also the men and women that are in your company or in your neighborhood or in your extended family, that we begin to value each other's messages, and particularly the messages of women. And if you are a woman, that you begin to tune into that intuition, that angelic concourse on high and the wisdom that already sits in your heart. And if you're a man, to know that this wisdom is there as well, and that the woman is to assist you to waken it up and to live by it so that you can attract and create a beautiful world of well-being and sacredness. You each one of us, have within us this divine nature, this connection to Creator. And just as men are to stand up for women, women feel the power within you so that you can stand for yourself as well. Take a breath. Be in that unity, that divine grace, that power of both the male and female, the garden that was so carefully created can be recreated again. with the advice from the Creator, through the angels, through the intuition of women, through the intuition of the divine feminine that lies within each of us. So take a breath and envision your beautiful world around you with your true power of grace and harmony and cooperation and peace. So I invite you just to feel this and begin to take action in whatever way you choose in your daily life to bring that equality, that consultation alive and into practice. And you can take a breath and open your eyes, bring yourself back to your day, to your chair, to wherever you are listening to this show. And thank you so much for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show today and to my guest, Mr. Rodney Bell, and to his book, Because of the Angels. We really appreciate him looking at the scripture. This is obviously, as he said, he is the keeper of the grail. He is bringing this enlightened message back into humanity. And so go read the scriptures yourself. This is your challenge. And contemplate on its true meaning. And please get in touch with Mr. Bell if you choose at enlightenedhouse.org. And we thank you so much again for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show. If you want to learn more about me, Dr. Gail Lash, you can go to my website, tourismforpeace.com, or email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So now please go forth and activate your peace brain and then put your mark on our World Peace Trails map. Many, many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.